Hi, I'm Graham Lasso, and you're listening to Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat with Chris, Craig, and Brady.
Welcome to the Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat pod. The headline this week: the Black and White Army leave Chelsea black and blue. Today, I'm joined by my good friend Brady. No Chris this week. How's it going?
Yeah, Chris, I had to, after the debacle of the headline last week, I got in the lab, as they say, and thought of a better headline this week. But that was pretty much the best thing going on with Chelsea this week. All I can say is, I think it's seven words: Benjamin Šeško to Chelsea, here we go. I mean, I think we've all had enough. Chelsea in the number nine has been a bit of a miserable tale for, well, since Diego Costa, really. Tammy Abraham, 15 goals a few years ago. But yeah, we need a new striker, don't we? And this was, I think, you know, this was made evident in this game.
Yeah, I'm sure Nicholas Jackson will crop up as we go on in this podcast. I'm going to try and keep things lighthearted at the start, and we're going to start with likes instead of dislikes this week, because obviously there's a lot to dislike about our 2-0 loss to Newcastle. Yeah. Let's start with likes.
Wasn't much to like about the game. I mean, the second half was a lot better. You could talk about that. I'm going to talk a bit more about a macro like. You know, we've got two games against two teams who we are better than. I mean, Nottingham Forest are having a really, really good season. Obviously, they've been regressing a bit recently. But when you look at their numbers, I mean, Bournemouth should be well ahead of them when you look at the XG numbers and things like that. So, and Man United this season. So, you've got to win two games in a row and you're in. I mean, so, you know, if we took, you know, you probably might take that at the start of the season. If you've got to win a home game versus a, you know, washed on the beach Manchester United, and an away game versus Forest who are kind of on the slide, you take it. So that's the like. It's still in our hands. So that's the way I see it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, that is what we have to fall back on, is our previous results have got us in a position where it's still in our hands. And yeah. That's definitely worth a like.
Unless Villa win like 10-0, but otherwise.
I can't see that. Well, let's see if they can win to start with. Certainly, we'll be keeping an eye on that first half before we go into Chelsea for our game on Friday night. My like for this game was the fight that we showed in the second half. I was really, really impressed with how we came out with 10 men, how we played, how we battled. Certainly, I think, something to be said for losing Jackson and Madueke, who I think a lot of people would consider to be not the most, battling of players necessarily, or not necessarily what you would associate with that. And we got left with a team of players that I think sort of have the mentality to win league titles, to win titles. Pedro Neto, Cole Palmer, Enzo Fernandez, Caicedo, these are the guys, Cucurella, that really battled in the second half and were on the pitch and sort of made some sort of effort at trying to claw back at what was a horrendous situation for us, being 1-0 down with 10 men, not an ideal at all.
I don't think it was insignificant that Reece James was on the pitch 45 minutes. We haven't really seen that in the league for a while. I think that was first half against Fulham he was, but when the captain's on the pitch in that situation, it does help. You need experience, you need a bit of know-how, and not only made a difference, obviously, he could have actually got to a point with that chance he had that he unfortunately put over the bar. But I do think in that situation, having the captain on the pitch is very important when you've got 10 men and it's kind of, you know, everyone's got to run for each other and work hard.
Yeah, I did obviously like the note that was passed on as well from the manager halfway through when one of the subs ran on. That was a good moment.
Don't elbow anyone else in the face for no reason.
Right. Don't get sent off like you did last season here. I think maybe it was one of them. Dislikes.
You know what Newcastle are. They're a high pressing, high turnover team. You knew they were going to come out fast, and we just weren't ready. I mean, he switched to a back five, and the back five was bamboozled Maresca a few times. I think it was Copenhagen away. And maybe a home as well. Also, Leicester at home, where we kind of not scraped past, but got a 1-0 win when everyone's expecting us to put 4 or 5 past Leicester. He does struggle when teams play a five. I think he did the same thing in the League Cup earlier in the season when they beat us 2-0. I wouldn't say Maresca got done or anything like that. And probably, you know, Jackson getting sent off. You know, if we've got 11 men on the pitch and you take make tactical adjustments and we have a second half performance like we did, we might be able to get something out of the game. But players didn't, they're ready. I mean, you can say it was like a prep time and that sort of thing, but none of them really played on Thursday of any relevant players, and it wasn't good to the first 20 minutes. I mean, even before the Jackson red, I wouldn't say the writing was on the wall, but we were already up against the wall.
Yeah, I think the intensity of the game maybe was too much for the players, but I think, as you alluded, I don't think I would consider Maresca to be out-coached in this game. I mean, I'll talk a little bit in my dislikes about what I think about the lineup and et cetera. But, you know, the adjustment period to these five at the back formations that we're facing and that we're struggling against maybe is something that could needs to be worked on. You know, we'll see in the future how he adjusts to those. But certainly I think Newcastle in the first 20, 30 minutes were well on top and not what you would expect to see given Chelsea's form coming into the game. And I expected Chelsea to come into this game and play well, and that's certainly not what we saw in the first 20-30 minutes. Newcastle were...
The goal was unforgivable, really. I mean, it's such a poor goal to give away. And that's, you know, timing of the game. To concede in the first 3 minutes and in basically a final, I mean, it was poor.
Yeah. My dislike is that I know... the team sort of picked itself for this game because of how it's been playing recently, especially against Liverpool in the last game. But I would have changed it up potentially in this game. And I think Maresca, had he had more confidence in his standing at the club or with the fans, maybe might have done it as well. I think there's been points this season where Maresca has made team selections that people have moaned about, especially in the good run at the start of the season. And then the team's come out and played really well, and he had a good reason for that. I think I would have dropped Enzo in this game just because of the nature of how Newcastle play that transitional football. They're looking to really counter-attack at speed and pace and what they've got in midfield. And I'd have played Lavia and Caicedo and played James at right back, and I would have dropped Enzo. And I honestly think Maresca might have done that earlier in the season, but it just felt like, you know, If we'd have dropped Enzo with the form that he's in, and we'd have switched away from what did so well against Liverpool, he would have been criticised. He would have been under the microscope. Let's say we put in a bad performance. As it is, no one's criticising Maresca because, you know, the Jackson obviously did something idiotic, and you know, the team sort of picked itself. You can't really blame him for the team selection. But I think the top managers, they do stuff that's, you know, the fan base don't agree with, and it works. And I think Maresca had shown me that at the start of the season. And I think even under Tuchel, even if I think back to Mourinho as well, he used to make weird team selections that people were like, "What? Why has he done this?" And it used to work. And I think that he should have adjusted something here, because Eddie Howe would have been able to easily prepare for what we were doing in this game, because true, right? It was guaranteed to be the same, basically. Yeah. And yeah, I just feel like it could have done something maybe a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, he said in the presses that he hasn't had the same two. I think after the Liverpool game, he said that he hasn't had the same, same 11 for two games in a row the whole time. So basically, he's alluding that he wants to give the team rhythm. But the problem with rhythm is, yeah, you do become predictable. And I mean, people say that Pep's a madman, and this season he has looked a bit more like a madman than a genius, but he changes things all the time. He always making little tweaks and making, you know, a player will be informing or drop them and change it around. They're very unpredictable, so probably the players can't predict it either. But yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, Fernandez in a transitional game like this, he's always going to get lost a little bit unless we really get on the ball and dictate the tempo. And that's going to be basically impossible at St. James's Park in the first half an hour, really.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly came out like a whirlwind. Right, let's talk about the players. Let's head to temps.
Time to see whose form's on top, who's heating up, whose temperature's dropped, who's been playing well and who's not. It's freezing, warming up, boiling hot.
Let's I'll just give a quick breakdown of the stats before we start temps, because I haven't mentioned them yet. Obviously, we lost 2-0, 55 versus 45% possession, 1.57 XG for Newcastle, 0.69 for Chelsea, 15 shots for them, 10 for Chelsea, 6 on target for them, only 3 on target for Chelsea. Two big chances for Newcastle in this game, and one for Chelsea, which was missed. Right, let's break down the players. Who's in? Right, it's actually, we'll create a new little bit for this, because I was going to ask you who's in the freezer, but it's the same player for both of us. And I Googled before the podcast started, what is the coldest place on Earth? And it's a place called East Antarctic Plateau. The high ridge there, temperatures have been recorded as low as minus 98 degrees Celsius. And that is exactly where Nicholas Jackson belongs. Is he your freezer?
Yeah, I mean, clearly he's the freezer. I just want to talk a little bit. I mean, you'll probably be talking about more about what he did. If what he did was really stupid. I think it's the look. When you give that little look and then do it, when they've got the, you know, obviously going back with the VR, that's what done for him. I don't know whether he actually properly meant it, or he's just misjudged the jump, or at Botman's jump, or just a bit of a brain fart, which wouldn't really be that unusual for Jackson. But I just want to talk a little bit about Jackson. A little bit is, there's been a clear regression. You know, he's 7 goals in the first 12 games in the Premier League, only 3 since. And I think it could be a bit of a sliding doors moment for him. They said this on the Straight out of a Common podcast, that he won't play the first game next season. That'd be massive. Like, he'll be banned. So the new striker that will come in will immediately be ahead of him. And he might struggle to get back in the team, because he has been one of Maresca's. And Pochettino loved him, Maresca loved him, mainly, I think, because of his work rate. But, I mean, it's a long way for him to come back. Not a long way, but Maresca didn't even think about looking at him when he went past. Just no love lost, and didn't mince his words, really, in the presser afterwards. And, yeah, it was a bad moment for him.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't sure that it was definitely going to be overturned by VAR. I thought it was one of those ones that, you know, I thought it was a red card.
Some said an orange, maybe.
Well, I thought it was a red card. It should be a red card. But sometimes with VAR, you don't see them refer to the screen, because it's not sort of clear and obvious. I think had it been the other way around, we'd have been very disappointed if that had not been a red card. I think clearly, yeah, like you say, the look over is you know, one of the telltale signs that he's about to try and, you know, put his arm across, be physical. I think in his head, and I sort of talked about this before the game with my dad, so that these guys are going to be really up for the game, and some of the players that we have, Nicholas Jackson being one of them, Enzo is actually another one, is that they channel their sort of energy and being up for a game in the wrong way. And they do it by winding up players and talking to the ref and you know, trying to be physical in the wrong way, like Jackson is here, by trying to throw his elbows about. Like, just that isn't the way to be up for a game. No. You know, it's not the right way to channel that energy of you know, realizing the magnitude of the game. And you know, I'm sure in that dressing room before the game, you know, Reese, Levi, you know, all the players that want to be leaders, Enzo as well, I guess, would be in this mix as well, Cucurella, they'd have been getting all the players in that dressing room pumped up for the game. And yeah, Jackson has just channeled that completely the wrong way. There was another one before that where he sort of just charged into the defender, you know, gave away a stupid foul. And, you know, I think Maresca before the game would have said to Jackson, look, Newcastle are going to press high. We are going to go long occasionally up to you, and they did go long a lot early in this game, especially to sort of get out of that press situation. We need you to be physical. That's what you would have said to him, I think. Yeah. It's like, we need you to be physical in this game. And he's just, you know, taken that and been like, okay, that means, you know, throwing my elbows around, basically. And it's just, he's not the brightest player, is he, Nicholas Jackson? I think you can see that not just in his demeanor sometimes, but in a footballing sense, you know, he's not particularly clever on the ball either. You know, I just feel like, you know, this is the end, unfortunately, for him as Chelsea's number one option up top. I don't see a world where next season he's the number one choice striker. If that does happen, then I think this, you know, summer has been a massive failure. I think if he's still the number one option. And I think, look, judging by what you hear as well through the grapevine, the club know that as well. I think they're well aware that Chelsea needs some sort of focal point nine. So, yeah, sad to say, obviously, Nicholas Jackson, me and you have gone through phases with him where we've both really liked him, to be honest, as a player. And he can still obviously do it.
That still holds water for me, really. Still holds weight. I think, just because he did something stupid in a big game doesn't mean you just write him off. We're not writing him off, but...
I think it's not just this, though, is it? No, it's been a culmination of performance.
Premier League goals isn't enough. He got 14 last year. I think he's got, 25 league goals in two seasons and about 15 assists, something like that. Not too bad. Maybe a bit less, slightly less assists. But I'll go back to whenever it was, summer 2023 or whenever we bought him. Like, he was a 30 million release clause. The real problem here, we'll go back to your old mate, is Christopher Nkunku. They thought he was the guy, and he just turned out to be a complete dud as a nine. Jackson was never, ever supposed to play as many minutes as he's played in the last two seasons. Do you know how many minutes Jackson's played in the last two seasons in the Premier League?
A lot, probably. 3,000?
6,000.
Wow.
I mean, that might be... No, I don't think it is all comps. I think it all comps. He's played 6,500. He's had a ridiculous amount of minutes for two seasons. He's just played so many minutes, more than he should have. And I don't think he's number one striking material for Chelsea at all. He was basically a left winger that was taught by Unai Emery how to be a striker at Villarreal. And we picked him up for a nice little release clause. He was never supposed to be the guy. He thought, well, we're bringing someone else in. And let's be honest, if you take Nkunku out, once Maresca said earlier in the season that Nkunku's not a nine, you've got Jackson and Mark Guiu. It's not really ingredients for top four success consistently, is it? Let's be honest. We need a big signing in the summer. I mean, we spoke about Delap. Delap's fell off a bit because he's been a bit injured. So maybe he's lost a bit of momentum. I think they need to go big. I mean, obviously Arsenal are going to be... I think they're probably going to be... I think Isak's going to be outpriced now, especially as Newcastle are probably going to get in the Champions League. I think he'll stay at Newcastle, personally. But, we're going to be looking around the same strikers as Arsenal. I think Gokeres, Šeško, etc. Maybe Osimhen's been mentioned a little bit, but I wouldn't be going for Delap now because he's a risk as well. He's young and, he's a bit raw. You need... Not somewhere as close as you can. It's not guaranteed, but maybe not. There's not never a sure bet in transfers, but maybe it's awesome and you just go for it and you just pay his wages because we need a sure thing now. And because it's been too long, too long of number nine, this tale of misery, really.
Yeah.
What do you think? Are you more about because obviously we were thinking about, Delap. Are you thinking just go big now?
Well, I quite like Delap, so I think Delap is quite big. But I mean, the
Are you happy with Delap and Jackson next season? I don't know. That still feels a little bit underwhelming to me, personally.
I think it's more, but obviously, in terms of just next season, probably it is a little bit underwhelming. But I think you do have to remember as well that Delap's only 22 years old.
Jackson's only 23, right? Do we think these guys really have the ceiling,
Yeah, in terms of just the way the squad's built and in terms of, going forward, what you're looking for, do you want to sign a Victor Osimhen, who's, 26 years old? Is that as good a fit as Delap in terms of age for the future of and the squad growing together? I don't think 26 is too big a hurdle, to be honest.
I think also you've got to think that Nkunku will probably go, Sterling will go, and Chilwell will go. That's a lot of wages off the books. A lot.
Yeah.
You're probably looking at not probably $750,000 off the books there a week. So you can afford it wage wise. I mean, the PSR and things like that, maybe they can't do it, but
I'm a bit scared of Gokeres. I just think, a player that leaves Coventry for Sporting, and then he's suddenly worth, 70 million because he scored loads of goals in the Portuguese league. I'm a bit terrified of that, especially when he's a player that's going to be 27 to start next season. I think you've got to get that right, but it's kind of scary Lukaku vibes to me a little bit in terms
I think they'll go for Šeško personally. I think they'll go for him, but we'll have to wait and see. because he fits the profile. He's got, I think he's got a 60 million release clause from Leipzig, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a great pickup. I think Sesko's sort of the best of both worlds, where he's got experience, but he's still only 21. But obviously, that's still scary, you know, buying a player that's performing well in the German league. And I think before that, the Austrian league, right?
Is it another Leipzig fan?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And I think Werner and Nkunku have told us, you know, a lot about that. There's also, is it Ekiti?
Yeah, I read that earlier on X, and I didn't even think about pronouncing it, so well done. I haven't really heard much about them, have you?
Well, I think that he's another young option. I think he's keen, so I think his agent's out there promoting that he's, you know...
I think you've got to go big somewhere. Like, they're going to buy a left winger and a striker. I think you've got to get a statement signing and a centre-back. I think you've got to get a statement signing somewhere. I don't think you can just go for youth and promise all everywhere, because... we do need a bit of a wall signing this summer. I think we need a bit of signing, but even for the players to turn around and go, "Wow, okay," like, you know, to, you know, because players they thrive off like real quality coming in. Like, you get Gaye coming in, or I don't know. Let's say we probably couldn't, but let's say we picked up Nico Williams. Let's say we just did do that. I don't think we will, but let's say we did. That would be a real like wall statement by the club and to the fans and to the players. So I think they need to say.
I think Osimhen is the guy, personally. I think if we have to go in any direction, I think he's definitely available. He wants to play for Chelsea. I think he's a good fit for us in terms of the players we have, good crossers of the ball, creative players. He gives us another big threat in the air, but also some more defensive stability from set pieces as well.
He's good in the air. I mean, the problem with Šeško isn't that good in the air, really. He's okay. But... with those, and Chris has been bemoaning it all season with the Neto crosses coming in.
Yeah,
and you've got Jackson and Cucurella. I mean, Cucurella scored a couple of header goals this year, to be fair to him. But
I think Neto is so good at crossing, and I think Estevao is good at crossing as well. You know, he takes the corners for Palmeiras. I think these, you know, it's a nice fit, Osimhen, for us in terms of, you know, offering a threat, both, you know, can score goals obviously and a fox in the box, but can also, you know, be a deadly threat from set pieces and aerially from crosses as well. You know, I, like you say, I think they are looking to add a little bit more experience. I wouldn't be surprised to see Osimhen and Delap. Honestly, that wouldn't shock me.
I've even said about putting Jackson back on the left, because Jackson's very effective off the left. He probably couldn't play in the system that Maresca does. But kind of as like a second striker on the left, he's really good. But yeah, I mean, I think also just finally on this, that it's a bit of a kind of vague point, but it'd be such a big PR win if they got Osimhen, because the fans are a bit, you know, Chelsea fans, even though we might get fifth, they're still a bit, the atmosphere's still on a bit of a knife edge sometimes at the bridge. They're trying to get the atmosphere going. If you've got like a, he says he's a Chelsea fan, he's a big player, John Obi Mikel loves him, that's, I mean, these little narratives.
John Obi Mikel in his book.
Yeah, but it's true, honestly, football fans are so fickle.
He deserves a cut of the fee from the agent, should give him something, Mikel.
And like, you know, it's well known that, other than the kind of the tourists who go, the season ticket allocation at Chelsea is quite an old fan base, or quite ageing fan base, so it's like, that kind of like, I don't want to say Abramovich signing, but you know what I mean, like a big signing, I think we just get them off Maresca's back a bit and give him a bit of breathing space next year. If we buy Delap and he's just, you know, he just turns out not a dud, but he's just really inexperienced and not ready, quite ready, it's just going to heap so much pressure on Maresca and other players to, it's going to, you know, heap the pressure on Palmer to score loads of goals. And we need loads of goals from the wings, and from the wings. And the wingers haven't really showed that a bit. Madueke's got quite a few goals this year, but we need someone just getting 15 to. I mean, look at, you've got Chris Wood and Wissa getting 20 goals a season. It's not like it's just like, you know, Salah and Haaland getting 20 goals now, and Watkins, it's like five or six. So there's players out there who can score goals. You just got to find them.
Yeah, and I just think Osimhen's a great fit with the fans in terms of just the way he celebrates after goals. I think he'd be a real fan favourite, Osimhen. Yeah. I think it's something that definitely makes sense. All right, let's move on, because we've obviously gone massively off-piste with our freezer of Nicholas Jackson, started talking about striker summer windows, but that's good. Let's add another player into the freezer. Jackson, I assume, was yours. I'm going to talk a little bit about Nonny. after being on a good run.
He was like your boy last week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's such a shame that he's just, he turns up in that first half and is just so poor. He had, so Newcastle went sort of man for man in when we were sort of playing out, and he had Jacob Murphy on him. And I was thinking, well, what a mismatch here. You know, Madueke versus Jacob Murphy, you know, you could take him to town here. He must have been tackled by Jacob Murphy three or four times in that first half. I mean, it's absolutely embarrassing, to be honest. That is like a pretty average Premier League winger, and you're one-on-one with him. That is the style of the system, right? We get the wingers one-on-one out wide with the player that they've got marking him. This is a right wing back or whatever they played with Murphy. I mean, what is he up to, Madueke? Can't get past him once. I mean, that is just, it is honestly embarrassing, to be honest. And, you know, such a disappointment, because that's one of the edges that tactically that we had in that first half. It's just a massive letdown. So, yeah, really disappointed for Nonny, who, like you said, you know, came into the game in good form. Disappointing.
With Nonny, you just got to get inconsistency. I mean, Chris is not really a fan of Madueke at all, but... And I've liked him recently for his kind of, you know, being able to adapt to left wing. And he has really good at, I mean, Jack said it pretty well. It's good when you get another fan on that we just don't say like he did. He just doesn't think he's a very intelligent footballer. And we don't really see that. We don't really kind of put it as bluntly as that. But it's true. I mean, just, he isn't the Nicholas Jackson of the wing. I think he's a different player than Jackson. I think he's got a lot more technical ability, a lot more kind of force on his shots and a bit more oomph in his game and just more forceful, but he does make really bad decisions in and around the box. And yes, one week, it's the Gattuso, you know, gif, isn't it? One week maybe good, one week maybe not so good. It's just, and I mean, Neto's come onto a bit of the game recently, but to be honest, all the wingers have been up and down. I mean, Sancho didn't have a shot for years, and then he scored that banger versus Ipswich. I just think with the wingers, yeah, I'm hoping that Estevao William comes in and just puts a bit of rocket up the behinds, because our wingers could give 10. I just get the impression that all our wingers could give 10 to 20% more. All of them. I think they've all got loads of ability. Even Sancho. I think they've all got loads of ability, and I think they've got a bit more to give. And in big games, they haven't really turned up for us. I know Neto got that last minute winner against Fulham. But other than that, can you really? I mean, and you got a goal against Arsenal. But can you really see that, like, the wingers have took the game with a scruff of the neck and won us the game really that many times? Not really. I can think it's mainly just been on Palmer. So,
I mean, Neto had a disappointing game as well. I thought Livramento playing that left wing back position sort of had a really good game against him, as well.
I think our wingers are good. I don't think any are excellent. And the amount that they get the ball, I think that's a bit of a problem, because they get a lot of ball in this system and they get a lot of opportunity to run at players. And there's just been so many examples. Like, I remember Sancho back against Liverpool away when he had, you know, Trent just got loads of opportunities to go at him and he didn't. There's been so many opportunities of our wingers being like that. And the problem with our wingers is there's not many games where they both have a good game. Usually one or the other has a good game. I'm not sure if that's due to the system or just something I'm noticing, but I'm hoping William comes in and really lights it up. I mean, obviously he's a young kid, but we're looking to recruit left wing next season, but a right foot left winger. But I don't know what you think, but I think all our wingers are they're good, but not excellent. And we need a bit of we need a bit of a push in terms of that in that department.
Yeah, certainly been disappointing this season. I think, you know, just from a pure numbers point of view, I think Maresca would have been expecting a lot more contributions from them.
He actually called him out in a presser recently. He actually said that I expect my wingers to get at least 10 league goals. And he went, you know, they're doing okay, but Nonny's got the most of 7. I think that was a bit of Maresca doesn't usually kind of go after, kind of make statements about the players, but he just says little subtle things that I think he's well aware that the numbers have got to go up next season, because you can't rely on. But we've seen Palmer with the dry run he's had, so that could easily happen again next season. Probably unlikely to not score as long as he has, but you can't rely on Palmer and obviously not Jackson. So we need as a team to just kind of chip in and get goals.
Yeah. All right. So obviously there's no boiling hot section, but you know, is there anyone that you want to mention that's sort of warming up or had a good game?
What about you go first. It wasn't really many, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Caicedo had a good game, but yeah. I don't think that he I think his weaknesses at right back got exposed a bit for the goal. He sort of switched off for their first goal for Tonali. You know, he didn't know whether to play offside or not, didn't track him, and was too late to get to Tonali in the end. But apart from that, he's just phenomenal, Caicedo, sometimes. Some of the things he does, some of the tackles he wins, so strong in the duel. He's just always good, Caicedo. I don't know what to say.
He's just elite. I mean, it's so rudimentary and basic to say he's just elite at getting the ball back. Yeah. He's just so good at nicking the ball back. And like I said before, he's really good on the ball. Got an eye for a pass. He can shoot. I mean, he's had two absolute worldies. His Chelsea career chalked off, both against Tottenham, actually, by close VAR decisions. And I think Jackson was actually offside for the one at Tottenham like last season. That was absolute. But I remember that left-footed bullet he scored. He's a really good player, and
Caicedo loving, basically.
You're not really going to get. He's player of the year for a reason, and I think like Jack said, Jack used the word elite last week when talking about Caicedo. I was really happy he said that, because you're not really sure that if other fans in the football world are seeing it, and they are. I mean, he's a really, really good player, and probably our most consistent kind of elite level players here at the moment. Because Palmer can be, but he's been very inconsistent. James obviously not really being in the team. So
I would put Cucurella right now in that sort of elite category in his position as well. I think
Caicedo's a little bit level above, a little bit. Just his adaptability to play right back as well, to go into the pivot, can drive. He actually wasn't too bad when he was more advanced in an 8 as well. He did okay there. It wasn't great, but he's got a good eye for a through ball. Just, I don't know, love Caicedo. And like I said, it's, he's actually stayed fit the whole season as well, pretty much. I mean, obviously we've got two games left, but Cotton Wall Caicedo's worked out. And if we just have to keep him fit, because with Lavia's injured problems and Fernandez's inability to get up and down in transitional games, he is key, Caicedo.
Yeah, let's build a team around this guy, because he is absolutely special. Yeah. Right, anyone else you want to mention in terms of good performances?
No, I'll give warming up for more kind of macro thing. I think the second half, you can say you have more in your likes, but I think it was a kind of, they moved away from the tundra. I mean, you could have easily collapsed in this game. When it goes 1-0, red card in that fashion, you're thinking you might get done 4-5. I mean, it could easily happen. Newcastle were very good at getting 1-2 kind of domino kind of goals. They just go bang, 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 and you're done. Kind of like a boxer, just like a little combination and you finished. Like how teams can really smother you that way. But we held on. And, the commentator said that it was a relief when they scored 2-0. Obviously, that's obvious. But it shows that there was a bit of, we made them nervous. And
yeah, the game wasn't dead, for sure.
We made them think. We didn't really have any. I mean, Wrestle said we had big chances. We didn't have any big chances. A few half chances, and Nick Pope made a couple of good saves, and then Reece had a kind of half chance. But
I think Reece's chance is a big chance.
Yeah, I mean, it's decent. It was only 0.11 XG actually, but sometimes the XG doesn't reflect that. But we made them sweat a bit, and even for next season, you're thinking when you go there next season, sometimes it works like that. Like, the players will remember that. Go, hang on. Second half of St James's last year, we actually put a shift in. If we got done 4-5 and you go in there next year, you're like, oh God, we've got to go back there where we got done over last year. Little things like that. It's not, you don't get any points, but you get those little mental victories which we can accumulate and kind of build a team. So like you say, there is a bit of a team there. There is a core. I think there's, we speak about the spine, I wouldn't say that, but there is a bit of a core energy about the team where there's players who are well established and are pretty regular performers. We've got 4 or 5 there, so that's good.
Yeah, I mean, I think when Clearlec took over and the players that we had, I'd have said that we had no one under the age of 25, bar Reece James, that I would consider a building block for the future.
Yeah,
and now we have a number of them, so it is something to look forward to. I think around this squad,
just both boxes. Yes. I think you just buy a goalkeeper and a striker. Really, I think in the middle of the park, we look amazing at times. I mean, even some of our build up this year has been phenomenal. It's unbelievable. I remember back at Anfield, Slot was saying that Chelsea are the best team that we've faced so far, and he was even asked after the Liverpool game, Chelsea would be tighter rivals next year. got a team there. The way we move the ball around when we get going is really good. Maresca ball can tick, but it needs more productivity. It needs better wingers, a better striker, and a better goalkeeper, to be honest, because it's so pivotal in terms of the build-up, and obviously you just need a good striker. Any manager needs a good striker. So it's both boxes again, which in a different way has always been a problem recently. Whatever manager, both boxes a little bit when we had Kepa, and you got the Kepa and Werner situation, or whatever, like a Kepa and a Werner up front, or Kepa and a Lukaku. I mean, we've got to remember, like, we bought Lukaku, that was a complete disaster. Werner was a disaster. Jack Finn isn't a disaster, but he's obviously got a lot of issues. And Sanchez, you know, we've been under, you know, he's improved a bit recently, but he probably isn't the answer long term, is he? So they've just got to try and sort out the goalkeeper and the striker, really. And I think that remedied quite a lot of the issues.
Yeah, I think everyone's on the same page with that. And it looks like the club is very much heading in that direction as well, which is great. All right. I think that's all we've got time for today. We've obviously got a massive game against Manchester United coming up on Friday night that we might try and squeak a preview out for.
Yeah, we'll go in, aren't we? So that's good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll be looking forward to that. A nice Friday night football. 8:15 kickoff, so a late one and a good opportunity for a couple of beers before the game. Looking forward to what will be a massive game and a must win for Chelsea on Friday night if we're going to be in the Champions League next season. Thanks very much, Brady.
No problem.
As always, we hope you're carefree wherever you may be. And thanks for listening.
I hope you're carefree wherever you may be. Thanks for listening.